This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I believe that the city of Toronto, its mayor, its council, all the police owe an apology to the Eritrean Festival organizers who found themselves assaulted. And people hospitalized. I read the description by one witness. She said the following. Her father was left for dead after protesters allegedly singled him out after tearing down tents. They hit him over the head with a metal rod and continued to beat him while he was down, she said, adding he required 12 staples on the top of his skull and suffered a fracture to the spine. A Toronto police constable, Laura Braben, said officers responded to reports of damaged tents and a person carrying a knife. While protesters initially dispersed, another group armed with weapons came to the park hours later, said Braben. On Saturday evening, city officials revoked permits for the festival Eritrea, Toronto, citing concerns over public safety. And somebody needs to apologize to them. They didn't assault anybody. They were having a festival which has been held in this city for more than 20 years. I understand people have political differences. They can protest. That's fine and dandy. But something really bad happened here. And the Toronto, if you read the Toronto Star, you'd almost think the Star was with the ones who were burning tents and destroying property and harming individuals, because they turn it into a political question whether those people attending the festival might be supporters of the Eritrean government. There was no, this was not a political event. Today is Monday. They were going to be playing a soccer game, as they played every year, with medals for the winning teams and the usual thing. But the Toronto police did what the protesters, so-called, wanted them to do, which was cancel it. So the word for this in history is pogrom. You send bad guys who actually destroy property, assault people, and then your mass media says, oh, there was a confrontation. There was protesters fighting each other. There was violence. Yeah, there was violence. The people who attacked committed the violence. There's been no arrests that I know of. There was one. People were arrested on the evening of Saturday and were released. There may be some arrests over. There was trouble also at the Sheraton Hotel. The object of the attackers was to prevent these things from happening. They didn't make a political case before, and they have never shown any of these wild accusations, joined in by Geoffrey York of the Globe and Mail and almost all the British upper-class writers in the British papers, saying, oh, the bad guys are Eritreans who we suspect. Well, I wonder if they understand freedom of conscience, because this wasn't a political event. So now they're telling us they know what they were thinking. They know what was in their heads. And therefore, individuals who they describe as protesters or as victims or whatever, they have no evidence of that. They have people willing to stand in front of a microphone and say things. But at the end of the day, all it is an assault on people who have a long record of having a festival. And these are not political festivals. But now you have Geoffrey York and other troublemakers saying they know what it was really about. They know who was really behind the festival. Can they tell us what was behind the attackers? The attackers, the ones who brought the clubs, the ones who assaulted people, the ones who destroyed property. What was what was behind them. And then what we're getting is the big picture stuff of, oh, they don't like the oppressive government. I don't know what. Tell me what they want. I because you haven't told me the political motives. I have seen things online in which they say that the government of Eritrea shouldn't exist at all. There should be no Eritrea because they have the political opinion that it shouldn't be there. I'm not saying I know what the attackers think. I do know that it was coordinated internationally because attacks happened in Sweden last week. Attacks happened in Tacoma, Washington. By the way, the attackers are waving American flags when they attacked the Eritrean community in Tacoma. And, you know, nothing spells liberty and freedom like the American flag. I hope you understand it. That shows you're on the side of God and freedom. So they were coordinated. And they have a leadership. I don't see the Globe telling me anything about it, or the Star. They're not talking anything about the coordination. And the police canceling. The police of Toronto were warned weeks in advance because anybody who's kind of watching the news understands that now, pardon the simplest expression, we're in a new Cold War atmosphere. But it was known that there was militant organizations ready to attack people and break up their events. And the Toronto police knew that, and yet they didn't. They weren't there ahead of time to protect. I read it today in a Star. A police officer said, "Oh, we don't talk about our preparations and things." Yes, you do. When communities here get threatened, the police make announcement that they'll be on the scene, and that no trouble is going to happen. That if somebody threatens a particular group, the police announce there'll be extra police there. There were no extra police, as near as I can make out. And I don't see what you can't excuse this, but I'm going to come back to the word pogrom. See, when authorities don't show up and people get mugged, and then everybody says, well, the mugged person is the bad one, that's a pogrom. Now they're going to be persecuted. They're going to be investigated and all these things. Well, because somebody says they harbor sympathy for a government. You don't get to mug people for that, except in countries that tolerate pogroms. Think of Christie Pits, where the Jews were attacked. Jewish kids in Toronto, 1933, were playing baseball, and people with swastikas came. And taunted them, and a fight broke out. And everybody said, wow, boy, Toronto stood up, and now we really learned all the lessons. Well, suppose the police had announced, okay, Jewish and Italian youth of Christie Pits, no more baseball. Can't have baseball because there was violence here. That would we all be proud and say, oh, yeah, that was a good decision, no more baseball. No, it's a pogrom. And when the mass media joins in, spreading, smearing people, there's no political basis to these smears. I invite people who wish to show that they know something special about one ethnic group or another or their religion, go ahead and make your case. But don't let people be attacked who haven't said anything and didn't do anything to anyone else. And then you cancel them. And then you pat yourself on the back. Oh, yeah, well, we're keeping order. Well, sure. After the Cossacks had done their job, the Russian soldiers came in and said, that was now. Now we can't have that until next time. So we're entering a dangerous situation, in my opinion, if we're going to allow this kind of Orwellian language of, there were clashes, protesters clashed with each other, malarkey. One group was attacked and had done nothing to anyone else. And there was ample advanced information, and that should have been acted on. And we owe the Eritrean Festival organizers an apology. And we need to make guarantee that their activities will go forward as they usually do and should. I am not confident at all that this is going to be happy resolution. I think instead we're going to see a persecution, and it's going to be based on loyalty. Are you part of our big plan against the government of Eritrea? Because now we're in the Cold War situation, so now we're going to have a hostile attitude towards that government. And therefore, there will be loyalty oaths. That's all it is. And freedom of conscience, you can kiss that goodbye. Bertrand Russell had a great line. He said, in our country, we always have freedom until we need it. And then it goes away. He would know they locked him up because he opposed, spoke out about World War I. We just passed... I'll say it one more time. We owe the Eritrean Festival organizers and the victims an apology, and it has to be made right. The money has to be paid out to anybody who lost damaged property there. And look up the word pogrom. And I would particularly put that on the table for the city council and the mayor. Yesterday was the anniversary, August the 6th, was the anniversary of the Hiroshima bomb. We spoke of that. I noticed that The Guardian, writing about it, said that they said 140,000 people, 140,000 were killed at Hiroshima. And 3 days later, August the 9th, the bomb was dropped on Nagasaki. We talked about this on the show last week, but I failed to mention that Nagasaki was the largest Christian community in Japan. It was a old, well-established Christian community. Nagasaki was a cultural center and was in no way a military target. They had a bomb called Little Boy. They dropped that on Hiroshima. They had one called Fat Man. They dropped that one on Nagasaki. And to show how people become vassals, the government of Japan today, their leaders spoke that he was concerned about Russia and the way they talk about nuclear weapons. Russia has a no first strike pledge, as does China. The United States says it's not going to give anybody a guarantee that they won't use it first. and of course, there was some wag once said, "Well, of course," they said to the Russians years ago, "We already did it, so it's easy for you to say you're not going to use it." If you want to know about what happened, read John Hersey's book titled Hiroshima. And I already touted it, but I'm going to tout it again. Fred Jerome's book, The Einstein Files, because it really tells the story of how the bomb came to be developed, but also the persecution of one of the great, well, the greatest scientists of certainly of our period time, who was a devout socialist. And he found himself persecuted. And he and Thomas Mann had an exchange of letters, and Thomas Mann says, "Doesn't this remind you of our old home?" And I said, "Yes, it did." But he said, "He says there's a pathology here. They're not political. They have a pathology of anti-communism, and they think that can justify them in any kind of dirty deed." So this is Taylor Report. I want to thank Riley and the outstanding staff and leadership of CIUT for getting us on the air and getting us done on this holiday. Yeah, Simcoe invaded Haiti. Okay, we'll see you.